हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
ओके पेज 22 Maitreya continued, O hero, Vidura, Diti, being thus afflicted by the contamination of lust, and therefore poor and talkative, was pacified by the son of Marichi with suitable words. 16. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments. Addressing Vidura as Vira, hero, indicates that Vidura was strong in Dharma, whereas Kasyapa was not. Pacifying her, he spoke. He did not glance at her in anger and scold her. If he were to show artificial anger, her affliction of lust would have disappeared in fear. Being disturbed by lust, she could not tolerate any conciliatory words. Her lust simply increased. Srila Prabhupada confirms, when a man or woman is afflicted by the lust of sex desire, it is to be understood as sinful contamination. Kasyapa was engaged in his spiritual activities, but he did not have strength to refuse his wife, who was thus afflicted. He could have refused her with strong words expressing impossibility, but he was not as spiritually strong as Vidura. Vidura is addressed here as a hero because no one is stronger in self-control than a devotee of the Lord. It appears that Kasyapa was already inclined to have sexual enjoyment with his wife. And because he was not a strong man, he tried to dissuade her only with pacifying words. Mm-hmm. Right, because the point is, if he used any other kind of approach, then the desire would go away.
Yes.
Right? So, in his mind, it was just, it's not about the desire going away, he just wants to adjust the time. Right? Yes. Which, on one sense, is fine. You know, if it's appropriate time and everything like this. But this wasn't exactly, you know, an arranged thing, wasn't exactly planned. Mm-hmm. So it's not that she came and said, you know, the other wives have you know, children. I would also like to have children. They make the plan, and then they go ahead like that. But this was just when that feeling arose. Then at that time, it was already one day after yesterday, so it was already late. Yeah, you know. So then she's, you know, approaching. So the concept he likes. Therefore, he's only using conciliatory words, because that then will not disturb her mood. She's not in the mood to hear them, right? Because to hear anything else will ruin the mood. But at least the conciliatory words will not ruin the mood, though it won't be effective. Right? So that's what Prabhupada's pointing out, because otherwise one could say, no, but he's trying. He's trying within the scope of this is happening. Right? Yeah. He's just trying to make some adjustments. So if she agrees, great. But if she doesn't, we see that it doesn't really matter on the outcome.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So that's what he's saying is Vidura then, because the senses are controlled, he can say this will not give a good result. Because one could say that, you know, the point that the wife is there, one has to take care. Protect, so she has these feelings. So therefore, yes, that is true. But at the same time is, for these feelings of a short time, then you're going to be stuck the rest of your life with the result of that. And as we see, it's not what you generally call ideal, right?
That we would have to say.
Yeah, it's not that, you know, the mother sits around and, you know, the little child is there, you know, some little animal or some bugs going by and they're kids picks up a stick or a brick and with a big smile on his face goes over and crushes it. And then the one mother, the child, turns to her friend, another mother, and says, "Oh, isn't he such a Hiranyakashipu?" You know, and then the other one, "Oh, yes, aren't you so fortunate?" You know, yeah, you understand? It's not going to happen like that. So that's the whole point, is that that's there the whole life. Then, and even if you say, but the mother has affection for the child no matter what, yes, that's true. But then there's always the thing, because they're not pious, that at any time that their lack of piety will generate the results that will destroy them. You know, no mother wants to see that. Does that make sense? So it's not a good situation. Therefore, by speaking strong words, like Maitreya is saying, Vidura would be able to do, then you solve that problem. So yes, the lust will go away. Right? But then the point is that can be generated at another time, which is appropriate.
Yeah.
So therefore you have to say things that are supportive and give shelter, but make it the point the Prabhupada's saying, at this moment it's an impossibility. You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, but she... Yeah, exactly. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole idea, is that one has to be able to discern that taking care of the wife, that is the important aspect. But at the same time, as one shouldn't get a bad result in doing that. You have to get both. One may say that's impossibility, you know, impossible, but hey, welcome to Grihastha Ashram. It's called, you know, that is called the impossibility, right? It's generally thought that brahmachari, vanaprastha, sannyas, that's the impossible. No, grihastha is the impossible, right? Brahmachari just, you know, he has to do what he's told and, you know, not kill himself when he, you know, eats the halava, you know, and basically, you know, life's easy. That's not impossible, right? It may be borderline, yeah. But, you know, hey. Does that make sense? So you know, that's the whole point. That's what one is taken on. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Kashyapa then spoke about the wife's position. Footnote 3. Kashyapa spoke for a long time so that the twilight would pass. "Oh, afflicted one, I shall forthwith gratify whatever desire is dear to you. For who else but you is the source of the three perfections of liberation?" End quote. Verse 17. Srila Prabhupada describes the importance of the husband and wife working cooperatively for spiritual advancement in his purport to verse 17. Okay. The three perfections of liberation are religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification. Because, how do you say? One's getting liberation is based on the principle that one understands or feels that there's nothing of value in the material world. Then one can apply oneself to liberation.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that means that one has to, because the point is you're going to, how do you say, dharma is performed because it gets artha. Artha is there, it's used for sense gratification. Right? So you have to have these three, because by performing dharma, you see that that gets the best results, but even no matter how you try, you don't always aren't able to perform it perfectly. Ingredients are missing, situations turn out not so great. You know what I'm saying? Like Daksha's having a yagya, his yagya doesn't go so great. Why? Because his daughter's married to Lord Shiva. You know, if it had been slightly different, maybe his yagya would have turned out differently. Right? But because there's Lord Shiva, and then he gets upset with his son-in-law, which is in the way that's inappropriate, therefore he ends up with a goat head. Not ideal, especially for a grihastha who's into having lots of kids. Right? You know, goat heads are not popular. Right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Maybe a minute come up and go, like that, and that's about it. You know, and you could do that, and like, you know, how often? Maybe...
Not a lot.
Every couple of years, maybe? That would probably be okay. No. Okay, maybe a village girl that is surrounded by goats. Okay, that a little bit more often, but you understand, you know.
Still not.
Yeah, not great. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, so therefore the religiosity must be there. That will generate artha, but you don't always get all the artha you want, because the point is you're performing the dharma, but you have previous karma. By your previous karma, you get a certain amount of results of your endeavor. And then, even if you have results, it doesn't mean you can enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's kind of like, that's the point about liberation. Is okay, dharma's tough, getting artha, that's tougher, sense gratification's tougher than that. You know? And so therefore, what's the point? So then, they go for liberation.
Right? The Prabhupada said that a material desire is a desire you can't fulfill.
A material desire, yes. Because you can't really fulfill material desires. Right? That's the whole point. Is that because the means the specific maybe, but the point is a material desire is a desire. You cannot satisfy that desire. You may satisfy the conditions that you say will make this desire satisfied, but it doesn't happen. You can say, okay, if I get, you know, my nice,
Bentley.
A nice Bentley, you know. Okay, you get your nice Bentley, you know, the silver and black and everything for the formal occasions, but you also want one in pink color for going out with your friends. Okay? So you get that. Okay? But the desire doesn't go away. That's the whole thing. You know, then, okay, the Bentley's this. What about some a little more sporty option? You know? Does that make sense? So then there's going to be all these things. It doesn't end. So the desire cannot be fulfilled. So as Bruce was mentioning, Prabhupada was saying material desire means a desire that cannot be filled. You can fulfill what you project is going to be the medium to satisfy that desire, but it won't satisfy. That's the point. The soul, and not only that, is you're trying. Why? Because you're trying to satisfy with something dead. You know what I'm saying?
Left to actually just fuel the desire.
Yeah. So, yes.
Maybe dead, but we are trying to make their life.
Yeah, we're trying to pretend that it's got life. You know. And it does have life, but the life's not from the matter, it's from Krishna. So Krishna's the attractive thing. So that we're endeavoring for this, and we think what we're looking for, the people we're involved with, is special, it's because they're connected to Krishna. Krishna's the attractive one. Right? Because the material energy, the living entities, all these different qualities are connected to Krishna. That's what's attractive. So when that's understood, then it's in a different category. And then when that's understood, we don't endeavor to try to enjoy things materially. Yes.
So Maharaj, this was a mistake of Kashyapa. He was not connected to Krishna at that time.
Yes, he was not. So that's why technically only a hero can only really be a devotee.
Yes. Because
the other heroes, they're heroes here and there, but then the next time... Right?
Zero.
He knows.
Yeah, from hero to zero.
Yeah. Or, you know, yeah. Or you're a hero after you're dead.
Yes.
Did a lot of good it does you. But, you know. Yes.
Maharaj, is it possible that person acts wrong according to Dharma, but due to his previous good karma, he gets good results? So it can appear.
No, but what do the two have to do with each other? It's just like this. You go into the kitchen, you have all your preparation because of your past, you know, bad karma, you drop the preparation. But just at that moment, your friend drops by unexpected and he brings Chinese. So, do the two have connection? No, your bad activity now is going to give a bad result in the future. What you're getting now doesn't come from now.
Yeah, I'm just saying that person acts wrongly, but he doesn't see, but he thinks I'm acting good because my results are good.
But that's another thing, that's just illusion. The reality is, the results you get now are from what you're getting today is from yesterday. What you get tomorrow is from today. Right? You know, example we give is that this week you're eating. Why? Because of the work you're doing this week? No, because of the work you did last week and you got paid. Okay? And you got paid. But you're eating this week. But if you don't work this week, next week you don't eat. So it appears that it's coming from my work this week, but it's not. It's from last week. So that's the thing. Everyone thinks that what I'm doing now, he did something wrong, but he got a good result. They're two separate things. Predestiny and free will are dealing with the same entity, but they're two aspects of it, and they're not immediately connected. You understand? So that's the difficulty. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then you can go on with your faith that doing things properly is important. Okay? Yes?
Well, that's when you said that desires cannot be fulfilled. Do you mean that they can't be satisfied?
No, you can't be satisfied. Just like, let's say I take a spoon of ghee, pour it on the fire. Does the fire become satisfied? The air fire just becomes bigger.
For a while, yes. For a while.
It means, how long is that while? You know, you went in, that sorry you saw yesterday, you're hoping it's still there, you go back, it is still there, you get it, there's that moment of happiness, and then you look around at what else they got. So how long did it last? You know what I'm saying? When will it come up again? When you tell your friends about it and tell the story and that. And then once all your friends have heard, then what happiness are you going to get out of it? You understand? So that happiness you're getting with friends is experiencing in the present, the past. You understand? Now let's say you tell your friends and they don't care.
Yes.
You know, because they got something else they're worried about, right?
What friends?
Oh, that's another thing. Does that make sense? So that's the problem, is desire is a quality. It is a quality. No? Yeah, well, that's what we're supposed to, that's why we're here, is to think about this. We're thinking desire is a thing. Right? The desire is a quality that we have. You have the quality of desire. Right? Okay. So material desire cannot be fulfilled. No? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's just like a mental thing.
Yeah, because the point is how is dead matter going to satisfy the soul? They're not connected. You know, it's like getting the rug vacuumed and scratching the back of an aardvark, you know. Do they have any connection? Yes? No? Okay. You know, kind of aardvarks. What about a wallaby? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Does that make sense?
It's completely illogical.
That's the whole point. The only way the soul can be satisfied is connected with something spiritual. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the difficulty, is that the living entity cannot be satisfied unless they're dealing with something that is actually akin to their nature. Right? But if one does it through Dharma, then you know you've done all the right things in the right way, so whatever result you've gotten that's as good as it gets. That's the advantage. That's why the Vedas recommend this. Right? Those who don't understand, they think, no, no, but if I just do whatever I want, that's how I'll get. But the point is how many doing what I want are there? How many options are there? There's unlimited. Right? Technically speaking, there's 8,400,000 options. Right? And then you have detail. Does that make sense? Like that. So, that's the whole point, is that it's not possible. But if you perform dharma, then you're performing what a human being has to do. It limits down to what is that? You can say it's restrictive, but you know, do you need all the options of the animals? So that's the whole thing.
Yes.
So a religious person, no, he's done his best. And whatever results he's gotten is as good as it's going to get. So therefore, they can be satisfied that there is nothing in the material world. But if someone doesn't follow, what's the chance? Does that make sense? So that's why the acharyas use the system. Does that make sense? Just like I put the pot on the fire, I put the ghee in the pot, the fire's not too hot or not too less, then I can cook the spices nicely. It's too less, they don't cook. I put it too much, they burn. Right? Now you could say, well, that's mundane and we're devotees and we don't care about the rules and that. You could go on talking in this kind of nonsense all day. Does it matter? You're going to get the results that you do. The law, God, the laws are God's law, and it doesn't matter if we have faith in them or not. They still work. Gravity works whether you believe it or not. Kids don't believe in it, but it still works. They still get their arm broken. It's just the way it works. So that's the whole point, is that by performing religiosity, then you actually can get economic development. Does that make sense? It's just like, look at India. Okay? Are there families that have been traditionally rich? Within those families, do they belong to communities that the whole community is known for being rich? Yes? You wouldn't know. Okay. Well, there's a nod going on behind you from someone from that kind of descent. Okay? Yes? Okay. So, that means you have millions and millions of people who they are rich because they perform pious activities, and their whole community does that, and they all get the results. Now, look in the West. What are the wealthy communities that are known for being wealthy? Right? You don't have a community. Families, a couple of them. Right? But do we know them? Have we seen them? When's the last time you hung out with a Rothschild or... You know? You have? No. Okay. Rockefeller? Kennedy? You must have some in France or something, one or two. No? Yeah, okay, see? Jews already got the market. Yeah. That may be another thing. They kill off Jews more than they kill off Indians, right? So that's why there's less families, maybe. Okay. Does this make sense? Okay. So what is that? Just if I just look at it objectively, you know, like the modern academic's supposed to do, what would that mean? The Westerners, because they're not following the Vedic culture, there is not general opulence and facility like there is in India. Does that make sense? So that's the difference. It's obvious. It's not just sentiment. It's practical. It's real. You can see it. if you know what to look for, right? Because you can only apply science if you're educated. If you know what to look for, you can see it. You don't know what you look for, you can't see it. So that's the difficulty. Is that those that don't know can't see. Okay? Then, artha means you have to have some facility to enjoy the senses. Right? Whatever it is. But even if it's small, but you have to have some facility. And sense gratification, you actually have to know what the senses are, what the sense objects are, and how to combine them. Just because you have them doesn't mean you know what to do with them. Right? That makes sense. India can cook. The West has nice ingredients. You know what I'm saying? But it's very rare you find in the West they know how to cook. You know what I'm saying? I mean, people get by. People haven't starved to death, right? You know, it's a rare thing to, you know, read the headlines in the newspaper, family starves to death because no one in the family knew how to cook, right? And their phone was out of order for 2 weeks, so they all starved to death, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's... Does that make sense? So that's there. They're getting by, but actually know how to cook. So sense gratification, you see, basically comes from this side of the world. And then that side of the world picks it up from this side of the world and then claims it's theirs. You know what I'm saying? Just like glasses. Where would you attribute those to? You know, these glasses we're wearing. Like that came from the Chinese. They were wearing sunglasses hundreds of years ago. You know? They figured that out. Gunpowder also. That comes from there. So there's so many things, you know, that the West claims is theirs, but they all got it from somewhere farther, you know what I'm saying, towards the East. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like Chinese, there's kashas in America, but it's not that the Chinese picked up anything from them. Right? Does that make sense? You know, Chinese aren't smoking peace pipes or, you know, how do you say, riding around bareback on their horses or, you know what I'm saying? So, is that what I'm saying? So, that's the whole thing, is that, therefore, you have to know what's religiosity, economic development, sense gratification with training. Then, by applying it, then you can get satisfied. Does that make sense? Yes? No? Satisfied means you're satisfied, you can't be satisfied. That's what Yayati shows. He, for 1,000 years, according to religious principles, tried his best to enjoy his senses to the max. And after 1,000 years, he gave the youth back to his son, saying, "Now I am satisfied that you cannot be satisfied." Yes, but how do you do? Unless you can also use the Malesha method, where you just become so frustrated that, you know, you just, as long as you don't kill yourself, then you're willing to do something weird like become a Hare Krishna. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You know, to do something extreme, nothing else is
going to be, right?
Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay? Okay. Now we can move on to the second half of the sentence. Okay. Well, we'll start again. The three perfections of liberation are religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification. For a conditioned soul, the wife is considered to be the source of liberation because she offers a service to the husband for his ultimate liberation. Because her, there's religiosity, economic development, sense gratification. If there's not, you generally see the men just sit around like, you know, various descriptions you could give, that they're not really worried about developing things too much or too refined. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So it stays to the minimum. Right? Conditioned material existence is based on sense gratification. And if someone has the good fortune to get a good wife, He is held by the wife in all respects. Right? So that's the whole point here. She's acting not in a proper way.
Yes.
So then it gives your artha then is bad. Right? You got sense gratification, but the results of that not being based on dharma won't give a lasting result. So there won't be satisfaction in at least in this process of children. If one is disturbed in his conditional life, he becomes more and more entangled in material contamination because he's trying to get some taste, trying to get something out of it, so he'll become more and more distracted, more and more sinful to try to find something. Right? That's the whole difficulty. A faithful wife is supposed to cooperate with her husband in fulfilling all material desires so that he can then become comfortable and execute spiritual activities for the perfection of life. Comfortable means not uncomfortable.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because otherwise, you try to go down becoming actual comfortable, there's the same. You can't. There is no such thing.
It becomes uncomfortable.
Yeah. It becomes uncomfortable. You're trying surrounded by so much comfort. Yeah. Right? Yeah. You understand? So it means not uncomfortable. If, however, the husband is progressive in spiritual advancement, the wife undoubtedly shares in his activities, and thus both the wife and the husband profit in spiritual perfection. So he's spiritual, she gets the benefit automatically. Right. So then it works out nicely.
Yeah. This way, Srila Prabhupada said, spiritual husband and religious wife.
Yes, spiritual husband and religious wife. Because the point is women are always active. And so in being active, it means you get results, right? Women like results. They know that you get it by being active.
Yes.
So, therefore, religious things get good results. Irreligious get bad results. So, therefore, is there. Now, the man will see that with the spiritual vision.
Okay.
So that combination works out very good. Does that make sense? And then by that, she sees like that, and he, you know, learns to perform activities. Yeah, so it balances out.
Yes.
Well, we say usually that men have more passion than women, or is that?
I mean, you have the foundation of it is that the man's, how you say, personality is based off of intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be intelligence is coming from passion. Yes. So therefore, it's how to accomplish things.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's about getting things done.
Yes.
The women are about the results that come from it.
But usually we also...
You understand? The senses work. The mind sits back and waits for the results.
Okay. Because
the mind's in goodness. So the women work off of the mind, which is in goodness. But it doesn't mean that there's not as much desire.
No. Because they both have this ignorance.
Yes, because ignorance is there. So these are just indications so you can figure out what the mechanics are working.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's you can't fix on one because all three are there.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So because you can say the mind is waiting, so that's in the future, that's passion. While the man's working with something right now, that's the present.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Does that make sense? So in each thing, it has both. So it's always reversed. Whichever one you're looking at, the other one is looking at that same in the opposite.
Yeah.
You adjust it, then it may switch.
Yes.
You know, you say, you know, this, he'll say good, she'll say bad. Okay, you take what she's saying, and he'll say that's good, she'll say the other one's good.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just a matter of the perspective, the context. Then it always changes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? So to try to just put it in the box and say this is the way it ought, that won't work.
Yeah. It's moving.
Yeah. The principle stays the same, it's just where you apply it. You know? It's just like, how you say, in grading, you have the curve, right?
What?
Never heard of the curve? Nobody's heard of the curve? He's
American.
Go Yankees.
Yeah.
Okay. You have the teacher has a test. Okay? Let's say everybody fails miserably.
Okay.
Okay? So you apply the curve. Who failed least, who failed most. Okay, the guy who failed most gets an F. The guy who failed least gets an A.
Yeah. That's the curve.
That's the curve.
Okay. I'm just considering my schooling.
So did I really?
Yeah, did I really do that well?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes it's like, let's say if everybody got an A, they won't give everybody an A.
No.
Just because they wouldn't be able to sleep at night.
Yes.
So somebody's got to get a C.
Yes.
Right? All it was is the guy that got 92 got the C, yes. And the guy that got 98 got the A.
Yes.
Even though technically they all should have gotten A's.
Yes.
Yes. Okay?
Yes.
So in other words, material life is relative.
Yes.
Yeah.
It certainly is.
I guess in more ways, relative meaning also family.
Right? Oh.
Both, yeah. It is essential, therefore, that girls as well as boys be trained to discharge spiritual duties so at the time of cooperation, both will be benefited. Right? So if they're trained before, then when they're cooperating together, they have that background to fall onto. Then it will work very nicely. But if it's something brand new, much more difficult. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The training of the boy is brahmacharya and the training of the girl is chastity. Faithful wife and spiritually trained brahmachari are a good combination for advancement of the human mission.
Right? Yes.
Yeah, so in the brahmacharya, then you have the... Then Preetu Maharaj points out brahmacharya, and then along with that comes sensitivity. Right? And with the girl, then there's chastity and satisfaction. Right?
Yes.
Because the guy's generally fixed of what he's doing and he's satisfied with whatever he does. He thinks it's great.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But what he lacks in is being focused on one place and being sensitive.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So like that. If you put these together,
mm-hmm.
then it works very nice. Because if he's brahmachari, she's chaste. He's sensitive, she's satisfied.
Yes. Yes.
So
it works.
Is it internal, external, these two, or is it just two terms that apply? Let's say that.
Well, you can't really be brahmachari if you're not sensitive.
Yeah, because then it would just
you're just too rough and gross
yeah,
and like that.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. And you can't really be chaste if you're not satisfied.
No. Yeah.
But those, they match like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Here we're talking about the ashram,
my partner. The ashram.
About the man has to be spiritual and the woman.
It's not a matter of has to be. We're talking about the nature. Because the woman's being spiritual, but she's looking at it as religious. He may be religious, he's looking at it as spiritual. Means if you perform a religious activity, you go to Mangal Arati, okay, then is it spiritual? And why you go to Mangal Arati? Okay, and that's the only reason. And that's a good reason, probably the best reason. Okay. And how do you get elevated? That's a result. So unless you do something good, you don't get elevated. Unless you do something good, you don't please Guru and Krishna. So even though it's a spiritual activity, it's seen from the perspective of religiosity. Right? The man's looking at it, you know, the Brahma Muhurta, the transcendental effect, that activity, things like that. You know, and even in pleasing Guru and Krishna, then it's a matter of that's a process, so therefore then that result then takes you off the material platform. You understand? So it's just a different perspective. Same thing, just different perspective. So the two perspectives are compatible because the perspectives come out of a common ground. Right? So therefore, if those things are there, the brahmachari and the chastity, then the working together on that common ground works. Does that make sense?
I was thinking that sometimes it's taken at least like in America that the men have to be more religious, so he just studied and then Mata he has to go and work and collect the resources to maintain the family. So it's not like that.
But generally, let's say you have a religious program, who shows up more? Yeah. Because for the man, it's a scientific process, right? So they're looking at the mechanical aspect of it. Does that make sense? Well, the woman looks at the religious aspect of it. Right, the benefit, the niceness, the goodness, everything will be nice, auspicious. Like that. But it works. That's the whole point. It's each works for that the category. Well, that mentality works for the men, the other mentality works for the women. So if they're trained in it properly, then when they work together, because what they're applied on is the same thing. You know, just like, let's just say, for example, she likes to cook, he likes to eat. It's about the same thing, but it works. It's cooperative. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So the medium is the same, just the perspective may be different. Is that okay? Okay. As one can cross... Oh, you had something?
I just would like to maybe hear something about the connection between chastity and being satisfied. But you kind of opened up and say you cannot be.
Well, because I mean, how do you be focused on one thing if you're not satisfied with it? Right? Does that make sense? You know, and if you're not sensitive, how do you actually remain a brahmachari? You know, it's just like, remember our temple president. You know, somebody explained how he and his wife, you know, became a couple. Is that, I think he, I'm not sure how it worked out, but both of them, being pujaris, were working in the deity kitchen. And somehow or another, they kept having run-ins with each other. So one day he tossed her down the stairs, like that. So very soon afterwards, they were married. Yeah. So if you're not sense controlled, you don't remain a brahmachari.
This is for anyone who wants to get married, you know. No.
That's another thing. We're just talking about the element that it's like if he's sensitive to the situation, then he works around the lady in the kitchen and gets his work done, she gets her work done. And then she knows he's not interested. But if he's willing to spend the time to argue with her and get upset and even, you know, the physical effort to throw her down the stairs, that means he cares. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So
if this makes sense,
then
if it either makes sense, then you can be either a good brahmachari or a good grihastha. If it doesn't make sense, you'll be bad at both of them.
It makes perfect sense.
Okay. For the record, letting everybody know.
So sometimes there are situations where you are looking at something actually not being done properly.
Right.
As a brahmachari, how much should you get involved with that?
Depends. And is it your responsibility?
That's what I'm asking you.
Well, is it your responsibility?
Well,
according to management, is it your responsibility? We're not talking about being a good Samaritan or turning the other cheek, any of that kind of jazz.
And that's the problem. You're doing a program, and maybe the line of authority hasn't been completely established.
That's why it's always good to have a line of authority established. Unless it's just everybody cooperates and gets the needful done. So then you can say something because they can say something to you and it all works out nice because you're all great cooperative friends.
Yes.
If not, better to have a line of authority. You can see it in Brahminical. I've seen it, but most don't work like that anyway. Because Brahmins, you have duty, you know what has to be done. So you have areas, they have areas, but within the time frame, if it's not happening, someone else has to do something else, you know what has to be done, so then you just start doing, and so everything gets done. But because there's not a sense of ownership, in a sense of, you know, that I'm getting results for this, therefore it's not important that it was yours, you got the results, or the people recognize you for that.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yes.
So then, if you like that, then that Sankirtan party or that program, those guys can go on doing that the rest of their life.
Yes.
You know? Like that, because it's sensitive to what needs to be done. It works. But if not, you have a hierarchy, and then somebody says, and everybody else does, and it works also. You know, when it comes to ladies, then unless it's your responsibility, don't get involved. You know, I mean, if it's about they're about to, you know, light their cloth on fire and all that, that's another thing. But, you know, other than an emergency, you just don't get involved. We call it story, and I think it was in the... What did it then? All those peace riots and stuff in New York would have been 67, 68? No? Something. So the devotees, you know, from New York Temple, they went on a Hari Nam, and somehow or another they came around the corner, and there was some kind of student riot going on, and the police were there, and tear gas and everything like that, you know. And so they decided, okay, let's not go down this street. They go back the other way, but somehow the tear gas affected one of the girls, and she fainted. So everybody's going off, but the one girl's on the ground, so one of the brahmacharis picks her up, puts her on the shoulder, they go back to the van and go back to the temple. But it's just, you know, she's one of the temple girls, so naturally you don't leave her on the street because she's a girl, so they just pick her up. But that's where it ended. So she's put in the van and all that, and she's back to normal. Then it says, you know, everything goes on. It's not that, you know.
They get married.
Yeah. It was just, that's what you do. You understand? So it just has its. So I say, other than emergency, you don't get it all.
And peace riot. I think that's funny.
Yeah. It's an interesting combination.
The irony is.
Yes, exactly. Peaceful, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Maharaj didn't say that a lady should be to be changed. She should be satisfied. It means dissatisfaction should be in specific field, or
no? It means that it's whatever is the nature of the woman that is the husband's business to generate. You understand? So, in other words, why would the woman be chased? Because he's sense controlled. Why would she be satisfied? Because he is sensitive to her needs. You understand? So if you really want to understand this formula, you have to ask how to be sense-controlled, how to be sensitive, not, oh, the lady should be this or that. It's just like if I take a general crowd of devotees and I say, okay, what are the duties of women? Anybody. All the men will raise their hands. But I say, okay, well, what are the duties of men, you know, okay, to provide for the family, to, you know, they'll do all those kinds of stuff, but they won't have any real answers. Because everybody's worried about what everybody else should do, not what they should do. Does that make sense? Yeah, so. Okay. So it's not here. So it says wife and brahmachari, but it says train brahmachari, faithful wife. That comes from training. So in other words, two persons who are trained, that will work. If you're not trained, it's pretty hit or miss. You know? It's kind of like, you know, your karma, whether it's going to work or not.
So. But isn't it that with, especially with the man, it's most certainly going to be missed if he's not trained?
You make it through your whole life and you hate each other, but you stay together. Yes, you know, for the kids.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wonder which part becomes which comes first, if the woman already has this chastity quality, or if the quality, or if she will be able to be chaste only if the husband is able to satisfy her.
Yeah, both. The point is that's why you match them. That's the whole idea of putting them together. It's not just that they like looking at each other. You know, that's the modern thing. If they like looking at each other, it's a perfect match. But the point is what about the character? What about working together, living together, you know, washing the dishes, cooking, I mean, all these things, kind of like that. You know, how does the bathroom work? You know, what about the closet? What about next to the door, what's kept there? You know, what about the sofa, the table in front of the sofa, the television programs? Where is the remote? You understand? These are the things that break a marriage. Not whether they like looking at each other or not. Does that make sense? So that's why people are trained, and that's why then you see that a match is made based on their characters. Now, if they like looking at each other too, then that's also a plus. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yes, because I mean, if one is qualified and the other is not, I think at the end it won't
last. Yes, well, that's why Manu says better a girl stays at her father's house her whole life and not gets married than marries a bozo. Does that make sense? Yeah. In other words, if there's no one qualified, better not to get married. Because not getting married's bad. Marrying someone who's not qualified is worse. It's not that staying at home is good. It's bad. But it'll be worse to marry someone who's not qualified. Does that make sense?
Once you're in that situation, what can you do?
Well, they say, it's an American saying, grin and bear it. We used to have a teacher, his name was Mukherjee. From a high-grade Bengali Brahmin family, super qualified. I mean, he's such a good manager, organizer. I mean, you know, he had his own school in Calcutta, 300 students, English medium, you know, did everything. But then when he came to Mayapur one day, saw our Gurukul, he decided, that's it. You know, this was like in like January or something. He said, I'll be back in June or sometime, or May. And we just thought, okay, yeah, nice. He was 70 years old, you know. So he didn't think much of it. And then come that time, he came back because he wanted to finish the school year. And then he turned the school over to someone else. Like it was his own school. And then he came out here to take part in the school. But when it came to dealings and everything, he was like, because he was part of this, it's called IFS. You have heard of IES? IPS? Right, okay. Means they have every year a test. I think 100,000 people take it. Then they're applying for government offices. Now these are the people that actually run the country. The politicians are there, you know, making politics. But the actual people who run it are these officers. They're the secretaries, you know, that actually manage everything. So, the top, so much, it means they have to pass the test. So of that, only those who pass. Then the top 5% become IFS. So that's your smartest guys in the country. So that's the Indian Foreign Services. The guys that get the next level, they become the IAS, the Indian Administrative Services. And then the guys below that, they become the IPS, the Indian Police Services. So it's not they become policemen, they become the officers of the police. You understand? So he was an IFS officer, to the top. So he used to represent India in metallurgy and go when they, you know, their ambassadors would go out and everything like that. So he used to actually work in the, you know, be in Delhi and work there. He could walk into Nehru's office, talk to him, and this and that. Does this make sense? So he's qualified. He knew the whole thing. So why we're getting to this is, then he had a smile that when he had to deal with stuff that was like that, he just put on this smile. You know, and he could keep it up for, you know, however long it has to go. Like that. So that's what you have to do. Right? You made the arrangement, now you enjoy. Isn't that what it says here? Right? Religiosity, economic development, sense gratification. Yeah. Right? So.
Welcome to the material world.
Yeah. And then there's, you know, by Krishna's grace, then there's what's called Vanaprastha.
You've got a very good Vanaprastha.
Yeah. Does that work? It means you have to work with what you have. There's no use thinking something else would be better. It's what you have, you work with that, because that's what you can have. So you make the Prabhupada says, you make the best out of a bad bargain. That's the material world. And we have a material body, that's not a good bargain. Right? You're supposed to have a spiritual body. You have a material body, that's a bad bargain. But you make the best out of it. You engage in Krishna service. So you do the best you can that will hold the thing together and be Krishna conscious. So it may not be ideal, you know, you don't own, how you say, you know, property in the Bahamas and in Monte Carlo and, you know, like that, but, you know. Is that okay? As one can cross over the ocean with sea-going vessels, one can cross the dangerous situation of the material ocean by living with a wife. O respected one, a wife is so helpful that she is called the better half of a man's body because of her sharing in all auspicious activities. A man can move without anxiety, entrusting all responsibilities to his wife. As a fort commander very easily conquers invading plunderers, by taking shelter of a wife, one can conquer the senses, which are unconquerable in other social orders. Because, in other words, the other orders, they already have to be conquered. Right? Brahmacharya, at least you have to temporarily conquer them for the time of your practice. Then, one can then be grihastha and then perform the duties there. Then, having performed those duties, then one can retire to vanaprastha sannyasa. Does that make sense? So the point of engaging the senses and conquering the senses is done as grihastha. Does that make sense?
But what if you don't, I mean, it says which are unconquerable in the other social orders, but the brahmachari should also conquer the senses, no?
But what we're saying is he has to conquer it for that set amount of time. Just like this. If I say, okay, we're fasting till noon.
Yeah.
Okay, it's doable. Yeah. What if I say, we're fasting. How long? We're just fasting. That starts to, you know, get very
okay.
Get very nervous. Yeah. You know, what does this mean?
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So brahmachari, that's the difference. The Vedic system is you are brahmachari for a certain length of time. So then you know you can do that. Because then if you want, you can get married. If not, you can continue. You understand? But if this thing you're just brahmachari forever, then people start getting a little edgy. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. So you had that. Then those that can do it their whole life means they've already done it in previous life. That's all. But the point is it was done in Grihastha Ashram.
Okay, like that. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So if someone's able to be a nice Vika Brahmachari this life, means they were, you know, they've done all that in previous life.
Yes.
So this life is easy.
Yes.
That's all. The point is it will be done in this fashion.
Yeah.
That's all. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So also interesting is in this chapter, it's explaining the one side but giving example from the other. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? So you're getting the whole thing. So it's not one or the other. So in this chapter, you're getting the glory of Grihastha life.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
But the tendency is to think, oh, this is how when things go wrong. You know, you understand? So that's the thing. Because you see those verses, you miss the other verses. Right?
Yes.
You know, you don't hear the brahmacharis giving class on this one. You know?
Yeah.
You know, so there's a few famous verses that when those verse comes up, it's kind of you walk into the class, you think, you figure out, oh no, this verse. You know? And then somehow or another, it just happens to be the day when you have that, you know, hardcore brahmacharis.
Yeah.
You know, like that. So, yeah, it turns out to be a little wild. You know, so. Srila Prabhupada's purport to verse 20 explains how one can conquer the senses by taking shelter of a good wife. Of the four orders of human society, the student or brahmachari order, the householder or grihastha order, the retired or vanaprastha order, and the renounced or sannyas order, the householder is on the safe side. The bodily senses are considered plunderers of the fort of the body. The wife is supposed to be the commander of the fort, and therefore, whenever there is an attack on the body by the senses, is the wife who protects the body from being smashed. Right? Because the point is the guy may have all kinds of ideas for all kinds of sense gratification, but unless the wife is agreeing to it, it doesn't happen. Right? He comes home, he decides, wow, I want to eat this, I want to eat that, and I said that. No, they're getting this. So the commander of the fort, you know, controls the senses. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's how it works. The sex demand is inevitable for everyone, but one who has a fixed wife is saved from the onslaught of the sense enemies. A man who possesses a good wife does not create a disturbance in society by corrupting virgin girls. Without a fixed wife, a man becomes a debauchee of the first order and is a nuisance in society, unless he is a trained brahmachari, vanaprastha, or sannyasi. Right? So if one's trained, then one can perform one's duties without a wife. But if one's not trained, then, as Prabhupada mentioned here, because we're always down on the Western culture and modern things and non-Vedic, but here we're you know, giving some glory, right? A man becomes a debauchee of the first order. Right? The best quality debauchee.
Yes.
Right? You know, so it's you know, we're giving credit where credit is due. Right? You know, so.
Yes.
Unless there's a rigid and systematic training of the brahmachari by the expert spiritual master, unless the student is obedient, it is sure that the so-called brahmachari will fall prey to the attack of sex. So here is that, as you say, rigid and systematic, that it has a system. That's the problem in the home. It may not run that way. Because the point is the home is under constant variety.
Yes.
That's just how it works, because the woman is comfortable if there's variety. Mm-hmm. But you can only train a brahmachari if it's rigid and systematic.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And somebody who's been trained in that then can function in an environment that's constantly changing.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So this idea that a boy will grow up in the grihastha ashram and become a good grihastha, that doesn't make sense.
No.
Because how do you have a standard, how do you keep to that if everything's constantly changing?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because if you control your senses and you're sensitive to others' needs, then what does that mean? You know, if there's another person, you can deal with their sense. It's not about you, it's about them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? But if you grow up in that system, grow up in the grihastha ashram without this, you know, how you say, rigid and systematic training of the brahmachari, then the house means it's about the woman.
Yes.
And so what will the boy learn? Will he learn it's about the woman? No, he'll learn it's about myself.
Yeah.
Right? Because the mother gives attention to the kid. The husband gives attention to the wife.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
So when he grows up, he thinks his wife is going to take care of him, give him all that, he'll be the center of attention like he was with his mother. And that generally doesn't work out so good.
No.
Strangely enough.
Yes. Who would have thought?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's who would have thought that that and 75% divorce rate would have had any connection?
Yeah. I'm flabbergasted.
Yeah. It's shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does this make sense?
Probably has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, no, I doubt it. It's some fluke. Yes. Yes.
I was talking with one of the new little boys the other day, 5 years old, and my wife's teaching him, and I said I was with my wife. He said, oh, yes, I also have a mother.
Yeah. Like that. Okay, so that's the thing, is that, yeah. So there are so many instances of fall down, even for great yogis like Vishwamitra, right? Because that's the whole point, is that's being one of the main points in the chapter, is that the devotee, he is the hero. He's trained, he can control the senses, he can be successful in grihastha life. Right, so both husband and wife will advance nicely. But if he's not a devotee, then we see Kasyapa. He's a Prajapati. He's a grandson of Brahma. He can't keep it together. Right? And Vishwamitra, right? Big, big yogi. But he's able to go and spend time on Brahmaloka and stuff like that. He's known as a Brahmarshi. Right? He doesn't just want to be a big Brahmin, he wants to be a Brahmarshi, right? There's only 10 sons, but he still wants to be counted as a Brahmarshi, right? You know, it's like, that's weird. You know? Whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Ambitious.
Yeah. You know, so it's like somebody in the country decides, no, I'm going to be, you know, counted as, you know, the son of the president.
Yes.
You know? So, but you have no relation. No, but I must be, you know, so. Yeah.
Okay. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Yes.
In our society, it seems that in the training of the brahmacharis, there's more focus on the sense control aspect than the sensitivity.
Yeah, but then technically you're not dealing with sense control. Because sense control means if you're sensitive, then that's where it's... Because senses are controlled in sensitivity. The mistake is made if you're being sensitive. You're being controlled. If you're being sensitive, you're just being using your intelligence and being aware of the environment. Right? So therefore, they want to say that I'm not sensitive, so that makes me the man. But all it means is you're rough and gross. You know? So then if you want to be rough and gross, why get involved with the ladies? You know, go out there. There must be mining companies in the world that, you know, ships that are sailing, you know, someplace you can go and be the man. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that it's like this. It's easy. Here's an example. Okay. We have two brahmacharis, right? They're serving prasad at the Sunday program, and there's a line of ladies. Okay? Then the tough brahmachari, he goes down really quick, serves kind of fast, just on things on plate, doesn't care who's there, and this way he's completely detached. Right, the other brahmachari comes along and just sees that, you know, how much they want and goes down, but he's not getting involved, but he's seeing that they get what they need. Okay, which of these two is the real brahmachari? The second one. The first one is just a matter of time before he explodes. Right? That's all. Does that make sense? So because of that, it's gaining some time as a brahmachari that you learn you can live with very minimal, just doing service under authority. So all those aspects of brahmacharya, they're getting great benefit from. But this last point that is going to maintain them as a brahmachari or as a grihastha, that they don't have. So they're having trouble as a brahmachari, they'll have trouble as a grihastha. Is that something?
some practical point of applying this, then the person who is training the brahmacharis, he should make sure that in the dealings between the brahmacharis, they have an attachment to
teach, yes.
And then they can explain.
That's why it says the expert spiritual master, not the tough spiritual master. The tough and nasty spiritual master. Yeah.
It seems there's a the terms sensual and sensitive are almost opposing. Sensual means you're focused on your own senses. Sensitive means focused on
others.
Others.
Yeah. Senses. So it's a higher level. Yeah. But the point is, they look at I'm not focused on my senses. I'm not going to focus on anybody's senses. Yeah. You know, it's just like I'm fasting today. I'm not serving prasad. Right. You know, forget it. You know, we had one teacher in the 80s. I mean, it was 2 years, I think, before I found out that he would do every Ekadasi as nirjal, and he would do full day service as regular.
I would know one of those two.
Yeah. And it was 2 years before, somehow or another, in the conversation it came up, and I found that out.
Yeah. I found out.
So they were always serving prasad, taking care, because they were organizing the little kids. So this teacher, he and one other teacher, could manage 80 little kids and get them to do everything, do the classes, do all that. You know, I've never seen anybody like that ever again. And it was too late. And then on top of that, he used to chant 64 rounds. And then you ask him about, wow, how long you been doing this? He says, since it was small. You know, it's like 6 or 8. You know,
because
they're from, you know, Vaishnava families. And that's just what you do. So it was not like, you know, it's going to get out of jail. You know, it's just that's what you do. So everybody in the family did like that. So it's just what they did. Yeah, so that's brahmacharya. He's still brahmacharya. Yeah, and whatever temple he's in, all the other brahmacharis move to that temple.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that. He's in one temple, and then there's a whole brahmachari community there. And then when something happens and that, they move to another temple, then they all shift over there. Not that he takes them with them.
No,
just over the years, they all eventually end up there. So that's... But he was very gentle, very like that. Okay. Hasta, right? So that's the whole point. If you're a devotee, then these things are actually possible. If you're not a devotee, then okay, if you're pious in that, you can get to some degree, but it never in the very end game, it never works out. Because otherwise, Kasyapa and Vishwamitra are great yogis. Very pious, but still not enough. Only the devotee can actually, because he engages the senses in the Lord's service. A grihastha is saved, however, because of his faithful wife. Sex life is the cause of material bondage, and therefore it is prohibited in 3 ashrams and is allowed only in the grihastha ashram. The grihastha is responsible for producing first quality brahmacharis, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis. Because if they're first class, they'll produce first class children who will become first class brahmacharis. Right? Then from being a first class grihastha themselves, because a first class brahmachari makes a first class grihastha. Right? Then that, they'll become first class vanaprasthas, first class sannyasis. Does that make sense? So therefore, the center of the whole system is the grihastha. So from that angle, for the system running, the grihastha is the best.
Yes.
Because they actually support and maintain the other three. They actually generate the other three.
Yes.
Does that make sense? You know, as far as a hierarchy, then you're going to have brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. Just because of the age, maturity, experience, these kind of things. But for running the system, you have to have grihasthas. But to do that, you have to have brahmacharis. Right? Right? The grihasthas, in other words, if the grihasthas are there, they're producing good brahmacharis, but you still have to train them. Right? So then, if nothing else, since you don't have, you start with training the brahmacharis. Then they'll turn into good grihasthas, then the system will start.
seems like you can almost apply Dharma Arta Kama Moksha on the ashrams, except Vanaprastha.
Yeah. No, because the brahmacharya is controlling the senses. The grihastha is engaging everybody else. It's the vanaprastha is about the duties, and that the sannyasa is about liberation.
How does the duties and karma, how does that relate?
Means brahmacharya means he's controlling the senses.
Yes.
You can't enjoy the senses unless you control them.
Yes.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can control them, then they can be used in grihastha ashram to enjoy it.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Kashyapa continued, O queen of the home, we are not able to act like you, nor could we repay you for what you have done, even if we work for our entire life, or even after death. Right? So therefore, that's why half the benefit of the spiritual activities goes to the life. You know, I'm not sure. I mean, I know the material goes more if you're in California, but I'm not sure if the spiritual goes more. Does that mean the wife gets 70% in this? You know, if you're living
then he's in trouble.
Los Angeles,
she gets half plus whatever she does. So.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. So it works out. This okay? Yeah, okay.
Comes to a total.
Okay. So to repay you, it is not possible, even for those who are admirers of personal qualities. Right? So one can't repay what's been gained here. Right? So that's why then one shares whatever is there.
Yes.
So that's the whole. You can't actually repay. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, taking shelter of his wife, the household enjoys happily in the world and does not fall to hell. But it doesn't mean that there won't be difficulties, but there's no sinful reaction. This makes sense?
Yeah.
But he also does not become detached. Quote, we men cannot properly respond with gratitude to the women, even by one's whole life and even with next life, repayment cannot be made. Guests who have good qualities also cannot repay you. End quote. By using the singular for women and the plural for men, he seems to be joking with her. Ah, okay. That's interesting. Even if we were, he says, O queen of the home, act like you. You know, so he's talking about her, but he's including all men. So it has that likeness to it. Srila Prabhupada adds, so much glorification of a woman by her husband indicates that he's henpecked or is talking lightly in joke. So that's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is pointing out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kashyapa meant that householders living with wives enjoy the heavenly blessings of sense enjoyment and at the same time have no fear of going down to hell. A man in the renounced order of life has no wife and may be driven by sex desire to seek another woman or another's wife and thus go to hell. In other words, the so-called man of the renounced order, who has left his house and wife, goes to hell if he again desires sexual pleasure, knowingly or unknowingly. In that way, the householders are on the side of safety. That's why I said before that they're safe.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Therefore, husbands as a class cannot repay their debt to women, either in this life or in the next, even if they engage themselves in repaying the women throughout their whole lives. It is still not possible. Not all husbands are as able to appreciate the good qualities of their wives, but even though one is able to appreciate these qualities, it is still not possible to repay the debt to the wife. Right? So, this is the end. Such extraordinary praises by a husband for his wife are certainly in the mode of joking, because he's looking at only the one side, but then there's also the aspects of the wife towards the husband.
Yes.
All right, so he's not balancing it here. Yes. You know, so that's why it's being pointed out. It's either jokingly or he's henpecked.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like that. Because the points are correct.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like we heard, or we're going to hear. we're going to hear. About Hiranyakashipu explaining to the women of the family about the nature of, you know, the soul and death and relationships in the world. Direct Vedanta philosophy coming from someone who's generally known as the biggest demon in the universe. Right?
Yeah.
Like that. So that's the interesting thing. We're learning very nice things about the Grihastha Ashram from someone on one level who's not actually fully up to the standard. Right? So that's the whole thing, is there's always something to learn that can be gained no matter who it is and what's the situation. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's why it comes in all these different ways. Because if the one thing is there, it catches our attention. Now we're ready to listen to this.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the whole problem. Because if we just brought this out of the hat, no one wants to hear about it.
It's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, you know. But you combine it, then...
Some juice.
Hmm?
It's juicy.
Yes. Yes, that's the... Because ultimately, yes, the conditioning, the man can never repay the conditioning of the woman. It's like the child can never repay the mother or the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But at the same time, is ultimately, as the soul, we're not any of that at all. So we do that while we're here. Mm-hmm. But ideally, you go back to Godhead, and then you worry about those things. Because here you can't repay in this life or the next. You know, we're talking about in the spiritual platform, can't you pay eternally?
Yes,
so that takes precedent over one or two lifetimes. Does that make sense? So you have to balance the two so that both of them can go on properly. Even though it is not okay, even though it is not possible to repay you, I shall satisfy your sex desire immediately for the sake of begetting children. But you must wait for only a few seconds, so that others may not reproach me. So he's saying, yes, okay, it's good. So she has approached, he can't repay, so then he will take care. But just wait a few seconds, right? He's not saying exactly how many, just seconds. Just like, you know, it's just like you say, we'll see you soon. You know, who knows when soon is.
Yeah.
You know when it is, it's next week. Or, you know, see you soon.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Because you're just trying to, because you're working on the emotion, trying to keep it so it doesn't seem like a long time.
Maybe it's someone you actually don't want to see, and you don't want to make them, you know, suggest a specific time, and then
oh,
you
that's
say
another
soon,
thing.
And then yeah, and then you can just get out of here.
Yeah. Isn't that more like later?
Much later.
We'll see you much later. Yeah.
much later.
Okay. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, though I cannot act like you, I should adequately fulfill your desire for producing a child. Quickly enter the bedroom, since I am suffering from this delay through lengthy conversation, end quote. He replies, wait for the proper time so that others will not criticize me. So he the lengthy conversation's there. Okay. So he's trying. But the Prabhupada makes the point is, He doesn't want to try hard enough that the interest is lost.
Yeah.
Because otherwise he knows that could be quite a few days of someone not talking to them. Like that, you know. So, yeah. Yes?
That's okay.
So, in there. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki
jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki
jai.
Jai Nitai Gaura ki jai.